This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. It's Friday. It's open for business. And I'm here in the studio with
Lily Chai.
Lily Chai. And one other person, which I'll introduce in just a moment. He is Marcus Low, and he started Low Lau.
Lau.
Okay. Started the kitchen table in 2014 with a business partner, and that evolved into Table and Apron. So this year, in conjunction with his 8th year anniversary, Marcus returns and joins the conversation to share how Table and Apron handled the challenges faced during the pandemic and his core business development since his last interview here in 2017 on Open for Business, together with his recent spin-off, Universal Bakehouse. So welcome back, Marcus. Okay, so good morning.
Good morning, ladies. What a pleasure to be back again. And I'm looking forward to the questions you have and me to share more with you.
Okay. And now the questions will be firing at you. So there's so much to unravel, right, in your, you know, in this 8-year journey. If you look at just in the last 8 years, right, we'll talk about the customer's taste buds. We'll start with that. How has your menu changed over the years?
Gosh. There has been such an evolution of how the industry has started from when we started in 2014 until now. Mm. There's a lot of awareness as to what type of restaurants are out there. We serve food and drinks, right? At Table and Apron, we focus a lot on food that is very familiar, something that can tap into your memories. At the same time, if you're a regular at our restaurant, you would have noticed that we come up with a lot of specials as well. But the core of it was about finding food that you could really resonate with. And it didn't have to be a fine dining restaurant. And we tried to prove that in a neighborhood restaurant setting. Mm. Now, as much as a lot of people try and look for new trends, you and me know, even for myself, you know, we want to go for that restaurant that we can say, I want to come back here again. Mm. Right, and we try and focus on that central ethos, whether it's our restaurant or bakery.
Right, and you don't like to be called fusion.
that's a good word to put out. I think a lot of guests will call us fusion, right? As cooks, if you're a chef in the industry right now, when someone calls that, hey, says that your food is fusion, it basically really talks about how you're not familiar with how to tie flavors together in a way that's consistent. But I think at our restaurant, that the way we take it is a fine balance of putting food and flavors together that you can really resonate with. Mm. And at the same time, something that's also original to the chef. You know, there's always a storytelling art behind what we do and what chefs should do. And that's the aspiration we go for.
I remember your 8th anniversary celebrations, Lily and I were there, and you know, each meal, each course had a story behind it, right? And of course, how things have evolved, some things that you had to come out because of the pandemic. But since starting from February 2022, you no longer open for lunch services, right, on weekdays. Why was this decision made? Is it the obvious, can't find staff, that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely. Staff shortages are imminent across all industries. And for us, rather than avoid it, we began to embrace. We embraced the fact that labor shortages across the industry is apparent. If you dine out today, you'll find, you dine out at a restaurant today, you'll find staff scrambling all around. And for us, what was central to how we operate our businesses was about putting our team first. It's preservation of talent who choose to stay with you through the pandemic and us being consistent with protecting that. So what we did really was said, let's pull the plug. Let's not do lunch. We'll just do dinner service on weekdays and lunch and dinner on weekends. We changed the landscape, at least in our perspective, of how we wanted our teams to operate. Now, in doing so, our teams work slightly shorter hours. Team member that has to cover for someone who didn't show up to work, you're always having to think from their perspective as well. So by doing those shorter hours, we've also figured a clever way how to make sure that we also open a dining room upstairs. So we've really optimized the revenue per hour that comes into our restaurant. And truth be told, by cutting down those lunches, our sales are much higher than pre-COVID times.
Right. So dinner generally does better than lunch.
Well, actually, lunch and dinner was pre-COVID times, so we're contributing almost the same. Mm. But by opening just with dinner only, it allowed us to deliver a better experience. Mm. It allowed us to really focus on the energy we brought to the dining room and to our kitchen teams. And I think that's just translating to why people come back to our restaurants.
Right. I want to talk about team values, right? You know, did that have to change, or did you have to stay to the core, you know, stay to your core of what it's all about, having been around for 8 years?
Well, it wasn't so much about changing values, but it was about crystallizing and defining what those values are. Now, in our 8 years in business, we've been through a number of pivots, the pandemic being just one of them. Mm. And during these changes or these pivots, we had to discover what it actually meant to be a restaurant, right? Now, a lot of us use the term restaurant as, let's go out to a restaurant and eat. But the root word of a restaurant is to restore, if no one really knew that. And we take that quite literally and use that as a sense of purpose for our teams. Mm. By having those kind of values in place, that sense of purpose in place, it really keeps our team aligned in terms of the collective message that we want to share with each other and the team. So the pandemic was really one of many chapters that we've had of really grounding down, okay, what's important to us? Why are we here today? And we make sure that our own leaders also communicate that across the board to our team.
Right. So according to the Star, the pandemic has shut down more than 30% of F&B eateries, but you survive through these waves of challenges. How did you manage to stay afloat? You mentioned lunch and dinner, but tell us more about it.
Right. When the pandemic first hit in March 2020, we were shocked, quite literally to the core. Why? The government says that you're closed for 2 weeks. We're like, yeah, sure, it's going to be 2 weeks. But what we started to realize at that point, you know, was that the very existence of us as a restaurant and a bakery was a place where people could gather, but that was putting lives at risk. You know, just the thought of that really helped us question, okay, what are we trying to be here? You know, we're known for a place where our legacy is hospitality, how we make people feel. And then to know that, okay, how do we redefine that again, knowing that it's in lockdown. Now, we of course did many things where we try to understand how can we push hospitality out beyond the four walls. But centrally, it was also being in a context at that point and saying what was important. So rather than putting the business goals front and center, we pushed that aside and said, during this time, we have team members who could not go to the supermarket, right? You could not go home if you're living out of state, which some of our teams do. You could not go back to your source country if you were a foreign team member. And we said, let's give them a sense of assurance that job security is paramount. Mm. And then we recollected back again, you know, came back and said, how do we then deliver hospitality by putting our team first? Mm. Now, with that, it was very natural. Pivots then, ideas started coming in, our teams then make changes. So it's very team aligned. And to be very fair, it's 50% luck in us surviving through, 50% my team, and hard work, and just aligning that together. So we were very grateful for where we've been.
Right. More questions about the inflation and also Universal Big House right after this. I'm here with Marcus Lowe from Lau, from the Table and Apron. Stay tuned to Open for Business. BFM 89.9.
Beats, funk, mixtapes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Open for Business. Free Lu together with Lily Chai, speaking to Marcus Lau from Table and Apron. They're here for the second time on Open for Business, talking about how they've survived, you know, in the last 8 years. And of course, we're still, you know, talking about price hikes and inflation and, you know, chicken. So, you know, I mean, and how you're able to, I guess, address these issues.
Right. So before the break, we were talking about how did you manage to stay afloat, right? So specifically during the pandemic, did you change your menus? What did you sell at that period?
At that period during the pandemic, because our menu was very much a dine-in menu, we had to contextualize what it meant, how we could make people feel if they were dining at home but not at the restaurant. So what our teams did was they looked at the drawing board and went, if someone was staying at home right now, how would it make them feel that they could say, I want to give a 5-star review to the restaurant or to my meal here? So we started looking at things like bundling up, Mother's Day meal. Right. And a lot of dishes were created with nostalgia in mind by a lot of our chefs. So we really tapped into their memories. And because it was a lockdown, and at the time in May 2020 was when we went back into lockdown. So we instantly converted and said, let's bundle it up and send it right to their home. We added a gift card. We added a message or a note. So it really just elevated those experiences. Other things we did, of course, involve a lot of our guests would know this. We did something called a buckwheat fried catfish. And that is something that everyone's familiar with. You know fish and chips, right? And what we did was we just took something that we've always done in the past. We always like to focus on underrated vegetables. We like to focus on local ingredients. In this case, catfish. You'd have it in ikan keli and mamak stall. You would have it in a Chinese restaurant, ikan patin, in Bukit Tinggi. We took those same kind of ethos and said, if it was done in our style and it could resonate with guests, what would it be? So those were really highlights for our restaurants. It became something our team could align to every day rather than, oh, we got to go to work by, I don't know, 11 a.m. and then we have to go back home by 6 p.m. before like the police come and catch us out, right?
And I understand that catfish was something that the staff used to cook for themselves.
Yes, yes. This is something we do all the time. At every single staff in a table and apron, right? Everything is made by the chefs and they have free reign as to what they wanted to cook. Wow. The only brief that we give is that make sure that this food is something that you'd want to eat as well. And you want to eat every day, right? Because whether we cook for our guests or for each other, at the end of the day, you're also cooking for yourself and the people around you. So naturally, that then translates into food that we would serve to our guests as well.
Right. With the recent inflation, right, price hikes everywhere, do you foresee yourself adjusting the price to maintain your profit margin for now?
Most certainly. I think that's something that is imminent and unavoidable. In a landscape where the competition is not just about staff shortages, but rising material food costs, we have to make sure that our books balance together. You know, we're in business where profit is more of a means to help us push forward that mission. Now, by increasing pricing, what it tends to do is then, well, it'll leave guests freaking out. It'll go, oh, why are dishes so expensive? So it's very important that as a company, as an organization, we understand where our value comes from. And that value comes from how someone experiences coming to our restaurant. And then when they leave that restaurant, can they say, for this amount that I spend at this restaurant, this is why I want to repeat that spending. So it doesn't come down just to the price of the food, but comes down to how we make you feel. So our front of house teams have a very important role to play. When guests walk out of that restaurant, not only do we want them to say that this is a place where you could have, you know, best sourdough bread in our bakery or the best fried chicken or whatever specials that there is, but we also want that guest to think, who was that server that just served me? What was his name?
Kevin.
Right? Kevin. Now you know Kevin, right?
See? Because he kept repeating my name.
Yeah, there you go. It's a systematic approach that we do. We address our guests, simple gestures, by just addressing someone by name. Why? Everyone in our restaurant, or every guest that walks in, they're wearing an invisible sign that says, make me feel important. And it's a golden nugget right there. If our teams can at least just address you by name, you change the game.
Speaking of sourdough... Universal Big House, the accidental cash cow that was started in 2019. What happened there?
I wouldn't call it a cash cow, I'd call it all luck right before we went in. So the backstory is that at Tame and Apron, we've been making sourdough bread since 2014. In fact, in my previous experience before starting the business, I was also a baker. And we've been making breads for 6 years now at that point in time, up to 2019. And when the laundry auntie who used to service our aprons, our linens, she was in business for 40 years. And she gave us a one-week notice and said that she was going to retire. Very naturally, when the lot became available, the landlord asked us to take over. And it was natural for me to think, let's open let's expand the restaurant.
Right.
Let's knock down the wall and expand the restaurant. It made zero sense to do anything else. However, there was this conviction that there was a space where we could say, we've been making sourdough breads for the last 7 years now, right? Or at that time, 6 years. And there was an opportunity to introduce it into the industry in a way that would rise the tide for restaurants around. So we took the jump. Right, we took the jump to say, let's open a bakery instead. Now, this is still something that at that time, as restaurant specialists, this is beyond our ability, our specialization. But I always believe that was there an opportunity where we could extend the dialogue of hospitality in a different approach? And that was something that was something that we thought was a risk that was worth taking. And until today, for instance, we have a retail store that, you know, has a lot of regulars. We have a roti van that roves around Klang Valley, it pops up. And most recently, we also have a small kiosk at Bangsar Shopping Centre. So we're really seeing how we can extend that reach in a very holistic approach. And I use that for any future growth in our organisation. So first question we will ask is, does this excite us? Does this rise the tide for the industry? The second question I ask is, does it make our first place better than before? Does it make Tame and Apron better than before?
Does it?
It does.
Okay.
Certainly, right?
Okay, so you were thinking at first expanding on Table and Apron, but then you decided on the bakery concept instead.
Yes. Now, if you probably noticed my style, I'm very much team-focused, right? So it was actually my managing partner, Asia, who's been with us for the past 7 years, and also my teams who then said, hey, look, we want to do something beyond just the restaurant, right? Was there an opportunity to do that kind of landscape? And that will answer my third thing that we always look at. If we were going to go into a new venture, a new concept, does it give room for our teams to grow? Does it give room for career development? It's the type of industry where if you talk about churn, this industry churns like a washing machine, right? So how do we retain a talent? How do we give them space to have that entrepreneurial spirit?
Right, because now they can open their kiosk, they can have the roti van kind of thing. And you were saying, you know, in the Bangsar Shopping Centre as well, right? So it's not a full-on outlet, but there are ways to grow the brand as it is.
Absolutely. You know, we look at running our business really like a marathon of learning, unlearning, and relearning. So it's really always testing and saying, okay, what can we learn from this? How do we extend? So it's a very conscious decision when last year, in our second year anniversary for Universal Bakehouse, we decided to have a roti van. And that was actually a way for us to also explore different communities and see how we could tap into those.
What a name, Universal.
Wow. If you are in Damansara Kim, the shop that was before us was called Kedai Dobi Universal. Now, quite naturally, if you're a restaurant that's called Tame and Apron and you were going to open a bakery, it would be very easy to probably guess, what should we call this place? Flour and water, maybe. But right in front of our face, right, was this signage that said Kedai Dobi Universal. And then one of the things we did was we told our landlord, don't erase that. You know, it's a legacy. Damansara Kim has been here for 40 years. And unfortunately, he erased it.
Okay,
we work with long-standing partners, and one of our partners in the business is actually our brand sort of like brand designer, right? Her name is Joanne, and she worked with us on the kitchen table, Table and Apron, and she called up at the very last minute and said, you have to keep that name, right? So, you know, I looked at it and I took a pic. We had a picture of Kedai Dobi Universal. I speak to my wife, and she said, it's so funny if you call it Kedai Roti Universal. And that was just, that just clicked, and we're like, let's go with that.
Okay. And I used to send my laundry to that auntie.
And her name is Auntie Lau.
Auntie Lau.
Yes.
It's the Liu community. Okay, we won't talk about staff because you talk about churn as well, right? And because you've got a mix of foreign and local workers. What have you done to, I guess, to communicate with them, you know, and how did you manage to convince those that stayed, right? I mean, what is still the glue that holds them all together?
The glue that I believe that holds what we do together is about creating a sense of belonging and a real sense of purpose. So that that transcends times, right? That transcends whether you're around
industries.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the basis or the ethos of how we approach, how we operate with our teams, right? So when we talk about sense of belonging, the question I always ask myself is that when I'm working in a team, does working with Lily make me feel like I want to come to work every day? Not BFM, no. I'm talking about Lily, right? Why are you shaking heads?
No, I...
That is a cue for whether it makes people feel like they belong.
Yeah.
And then you have a sense of purpose where we challenge our team, when you come over here, right, to work with us, how do you create and inspire excellence? Because the opposite of that is mediocrity, right? Mm. So how do you inspire excellence? And we really trace down to the very, very simple things. So if you look at our organization, which right now is about 60 employees, 60 team members, very far from when we were 10 staff in the first year. Throughout the organization, there are activities that are run, whether playing badminton, whether it's going out to try a new restaurant, whether even formal trainings that we do where, you know, we could go back down to ground and do role plays and service, making mayonnaise, for instance, we did that recently. And it really comes down to the basics. Does it create a stronger sense of belonging? Does it create a stronger sense of purpose for our team?
Mm.
We believe that's what's important and what should be emphasized moving forward, especially for any business owners in any industry.
Right. Okay. You know, so just a final thought. You know, of course, you talk about Universal, Big House, that as an expansion or a growth strategy. But there's also the impending recession. We talk about it in plus inflation. So what, I guess, do we have? What else have you got? You know, up your sleeve moving forward?
Well, for the next 1 year, really for us, is about definitely growth. Mm. Now, growth, not so much organic growth, but holistic growth. So in the pandemic, we took the opportunity to start building our back-end structure, our business teams, right? Whether it's our marketing, our finance, our HR, and really building structure for there. In 2014, I thought I'd just come in and be a chef. Little did I know that today I'm wearing a different hat where my main responsibility is to have a vision to take the teams forward, to pass the torch to our teams as well. So it really is about building structure so that when we grow the other brands, we can make sure that not only will our sales grow, but our culture also grows in tandem together with it. Now, that's a strong emphasis we have. We are looking at ways how we can fundraise, but what is a priority for us is making sure we have creative control over quality, right, as we step forward with growth.
All right. All the best. Marcus Lau from Table and Apron and also as well as Universal Bakehouse. You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Frida Liu together with Lily Chai, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9.